And we're back.
That's right.
Here Another we are. Episode of the Stage Dive.
The most underrated tag team finisher in the world ever.
Ever.
Ever. Okay. And the most underrated podcast.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. It's definitely ever. Mostly underrated.
Yes.
So I want to jump right into it.
Let's jump.
WrestleMania.
Yes.
We are a few days away now, a week away, few days, whatever you want to say. And
excited.
Shit has gotten real.
Real. Real, so, real.
I want to ask you a question. Before we get into before we get into the matches and stuff that happened and things like that.
Yes.
I want to ask you a question. Has Cody, and there's a reason I want to go into this. You don't have to answer it right away. Let's go through.
Okay.
You can either answer it right away and then let me know if you change your mind after we go through everything.
Okay.
Or you can wait and give me your answer afterwards.
Okay.
Has Cody
too many options?
I know. Has Cody turned into John Cena? And what do I mean by that?
Wow.
What do I mean by that? What I mean by that is there was a point. Cody is such the white, old school white face baby, baby face, however that saying goes. White meat baby face. That's it.
Yes.
He's such that everything he does is right. No matter if you boo him or cheer him, he's acting the same way, doing the same stuff. John Cena did the same stuff. They started coming out with the John Cena sucks. We hate you. But he never, ever changed who he was, what he did. He always stuck with the loyal hustle, that whole thing.
Loyal hustle, your respect.
Yes.
Yep.
Always stuck with that.
Yep.
Cody's doing the same thing. So is the crowd changing Cody into that? Do you want to answer now or do you want to answer later?
Keep going.
Well, that, if you're not going to answer now, then I can jump into that and then we can jump into next.
Yeah.
So with that being said, Pat McAfee comes out on SmackDown, kicks Cody in the beanbag.
Right, because he was a punter.
And actually, now that I think about it, it would have been funny if he had his hands up, like he was dropping the ball and then kicking.
Yeah.
But semantics. But anyway... So he turns out to be the mystery person on the phone that Orton's been talking to. What?
I hope not.
Well, they said it.
I know, but I really want somebody different.
So, okay, I'm glad you said that because that literally was the next thing I was going to ask.
And everybody feels that way.
So who would have been better
Vince
on the phone?
Vince.
Vince, yeah, but I don't see Vince...
To see that strut come down.
I actually had two other people
down the aisle would have been, or his dad.
Who's dad?
Cowboy Bob Orton.
He's not. Cowboy Bob Orton's a legend, but he's not.
To me,
he's not over enough. I think the new generation now, if you say who's Cowboy Bob Orton, it's going to be, oh, that's
Randy's dad.
Randy's dad, not. The guy with the cast on, who wore a cast on his hand for 15 years.
That, yeah.
Right.
I just think if Vince would have, it would have been mine. That place would have went crazy.
It would have, but I think
crazy.
the two people I have in mind would have also, because
can't wait to hear it.
If you watch back or you paid attention, it was always brought up that it was a person of legacy. Person of royal family and in wrestling, royalish blood. Pat McAfee's none of that.
Yeah.
But who else is?
But I'll tell you what, and I don't want to discredit Pat McAfee because he's great on the mic. I mean, he's a great talker. He's full of energy and charisma and stuff like that. I just think for this, it's over his head.
Right. Yeah. No, there could, in my mind,
nothing to do with him.
No,
nothing.
No, no. It's just, I'm talking, let me preface this. When we're talking about this situation or any situation, I'm not talking about the talent. I'm talking storyline.
Yeah.
What could have been a better storyline?
Yeah.
And I think Vince would have been a great thing to come out. I mean, Vince is kind of older. Could he still do that strut? Without popping a hip,
who
knows? But
I still would have popped even if it would have had a little hip.
So, what about this one? Shane McMahon.
Oh man, or even now, if you're going down that way, Stephanie.
Well, Stephanie was on Raw, telling Cody he needed to be better to beat Randy. So that's kind of my thought of, oh, maybe it's Shane they're bringing back, because there's obviously legacy and royalish blood there.
That's what made me start thinking about Vince. When I heard it was that and everything else, I went, what other family's bigger in the business than the McMahons?
Right. But now if you're talking...
Linda.
Now if you're talking... but now if you're talking legacy, Ric Flair.
Could be. He did just make up with WWE.
Well, not even that. I don't know anything about that. But what I'm saying is it was Cody, Randy, and Flair in that legacy group.
Yeah.
Whatever it was. So have Flair being, because Flair's got all of that also, the legacy, the royalish blood, the family, that whole thing.
I think what the way I was going is I was looking at each individual WrestleMania. Last year was Cody and, you know, The Rock and all that stuff going on. Or was that 2 years ago? Was that last year?
That was last year.
With Dwayne? It's always, it just seems like every WrestleMania year, he's just always getting into something with families, with legacy families and stuff like that.
Right.
Does he need something like that? That kind of storyline?
So this is the other question I was going to ask.
We're full of questions.
Is it needed? Did Cody and Randy sell a story? There's a 20 years of history.
Oh my God,
there.
Yeah. Yes.
Why
bring in others?
Well, why bring in others, but why Pat? And why Pat's speech talking about, oh, wrestling sucks nowadays. Wrestlers are soft. We need more of attitude error. First of all, Randy wasn't even in the attitude error.
He was, yeah.
Randy, right. He was aggression, a ruthless aggression error.
Right.
But he wasn't in that. Second of all, oh, I want to bring it back. We need to have someone like Randy Orton leading the way. Okay, that all I understand. Again, live studio audience.
She agrees too. Pat, look out. The dog's coming for you. Amber's coming.
So it's all right. What is Pat bringing to the story?
Because to the tape, right.
What's he bring? Right. What's he? And now he's on the
poster?
Billboard, the poster billboard? Behind really? Randy. Right.
I did see that. I did see that on Monday night.
Because he's coming out saying the business is too soft now. Randy Orton can save the business. How many people have come out and said they're going to save the business?
A lot.
But and you know, oh, it needs to be more like the Attitude Era. Attitude Era is gone.
Yeah.
It's never good. You can't repeat.
We'll never see that again.
The world is way too PC
to
do any of that. And that's not what it's evolved into. Everything
PC
has to evolve.
PG.
It's not PC, politically correct.
Oh, okay.
The world is too politically correct.
PG.
No, the world is too politically correct.
Right. Yes.
To have the Attitude Era now.
Yes.
There was no guidelines. There was
Could
no.
You imagine.
There was no
coming out now with handprints on their boobs.
Yeah. There was no politically correctness of even the things we said and did. You know, with Mark Henry and D'Lo.
Yes.
Like you could never. Yes. You could never ever even. Part of me, and you can go, people can go on YouTube and look up videos of us against Mark Henry and D'Lo, and you can watch it there. I'm not going to say it here, but even saying it in public, telling people, I have to look around my shoulder, see who's there, because I'm like, is someone going to get offended over this?
Right. Just to make sure.
Yeah. I mean, it's storyline, it's TV, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
But it's Attitude Era can't come back. So,
but I mean, is Pat talking about, like what's he referring to by meaning guys are soft?
I don't know.
I'm curious. I don't know.
I mean, SmackDown this week, and obviously the SmackDown before WrestleMania will tell more. But yeah, you got to wait.
So they're not doing Monday Night Raw Monday.
This Monday? Yeah, but Randy and Cody are on SmackDown.
Okay.
So you still have.
Yeah.
Excuse me. You still have two SmackDowns left before. You have two SmackDowns and one Raw left before WrestleMania. So with all of that, because again, it's nothing against Pat again, but storyline wise, I don't see how Pat fits in. And then if you go back now and watch the packages of what happened, there's a lot of stuff that Pat McAfee said that WWE isn't showing in those packages, which means it never happened now.
Hmm.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Hmm.
And listen, that's the great thing about doing video editing is you can make things disappear.
It is. That's interesting. I mean, What does he? I just don't understand how
I don't
he
understand
fits into the whole scheme of everything.
Yeah, and I don't understand. I
is
guess
is he going to turn on Randy a Mania?
I think this goes back to my original question to you. Is Cody now John Cena? Is that why they had to bring in a third person to turn Randy more? Because when Randy supposedly turned on Cody, he didn't really turn on Cody. He just was Randy Orton. That's what Randy Orton does.
Just being him. Yeah,
he's
yeah,
being
yeah.
a Viper. He's 100%. Being Randy Orton. Yeah. That's all he was doing. And he got booed and he got cheered.
Yes.
Cody.
The same thing that CM Punk is going through on Monday Night Raw as well.
Right. So we'll go. So Cody beat up Randy and got booed and cheered. So did they bring this third party in
to get more heelish?
To make Orton more heel
yeah.
and keep Cody that white meat babyface.
Because
Cody's turning into John Cena and people want to boo him.
Do you really think that? Or do you think they just half of the people really like Randy Orton?
I believe that also. But even before Randy Orton, he was getting not as cheered,
it's
I guess.
It's so funny that you say that because now that you look at the broad scope of it, you're like, oh my God, it's like a blueprint. It's the John Cena blueprint.
Yeah.
Because it really is.
Yeah.
That never crossed my mind.
People, and I know it's only been, I mean, it's been a few years with Cody, but are people sick of him being pushed? Are they sick of him being in, I mean, what's it, the last 4 years he's been in the main event of WrestleMania?
I don't know. Because I mean, I love his work when he's in the ring.
I love Cody.
He gets, you know, the job done. He gets the message across. He gets the people up on their feet. Everything's right there. He's so kid friendly, family friendly, and everything yeah. else.
An awful lot like John. But wow. And if you look at you hit That's the heavy. Nail you hit the nail on the head right there. The kids love John Cena. The kids love Cody. The tweeners, the late teenage 20-year-old, that 20, 25-year-old, they like the heels.
They're
not going to like the baby faces.
Yeah.
They're right. not going to like the babe. So they're not going to like that. This is loyal, hustle, respect. Fucking 20, 25-year-old kid. I mean, I'm thinking of Tyler, who's going to be 22,
right.
that he's going to lean towards Orton more than Cody. He's going to lean towards anyone more than John Cena.
Yeah.
Just because that's the age group.
Right. Very much so. Yeah. I never looked at it like that. But it does look like it's like Cody has fallen into that stigma, the John Cena. You know,
even by coming out and
which is not a bad thing.
No, I'm not saying it's
means.
No, I'm not saying it's bad at all. I'm just saying it's a good thing to think about.
Yeah,
and talk
it
about
really is
because
wow.
it's the dynamic of him is changing. And even when he comes out and cuts a heelish, like he came out after at the end of SmackDown and cut like a different type of promo. And even his whole attitude, like it was more true. It was more real.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was more real.
And that's what makes the promo so much better.
Oh, 100%.
I mean, you know, I don't know if sometimes they go too far.
What do you mean?
With some of the promos.
What do you mean?
With
Explain.
When CM Punk said that to Roman about his dad, you know, was that a little too far? It was real, but was that too far?
But at the same time, I think something like that, we talked about this, like that.
Yeah.
Punk's not going to say that without letting Roman know it's coming. Because if he said that without Roman knowing and it really hit Roman hard, Roman would have beat the shit out of him right there. I mean.
Yeah. But I saw, you know, not switching gears or anything, but because it's kind of in the same realm with, you know, CM Punk goes out in Chicago. Where were they this week? Chicago?
No, Chicago was a few weeks
ago. No, they were in Houston this week. He goes out, huge ovation, but then he starts cutting a promo in the ring and stuff like that, and you hear boos, you hear, you know, head of the table or, what is it, HTC or whatever.
The OTC.
OTC, original.
Tribal chief.
Tribal chief.
Yeah, when he came out and basically said, hey, you boo me. You boo me when I tell you he's not going to be here. Like, how's that my fault? He's a part-timer. And I'm glad you brought that up because that's actually what I wanted to talk about next was CM Punk. When he, and this stays in the McAfee thing, so CM Punk went out on Monday and basically, so do you know who not CM Punk. Pat McAfee's agent is.
Yes. Is it Ari?
Yeah, the CEO of Endeavor TKO. And TKO. Oh,
yeah.
So he comes out about lowering ticket prices. Well, Punk comes out and talks about lowering ticket prices.
Which was a pipe bomb and a half.
Yeah, so here's the thing. By Punk doing that, it buries McAfee. It buries WWE and TKO because the prices are so high. Because TKO has come out and said Vince McMahon way underpriced all the tickets, all those years. But Vince priced the tickets so the common folk, like Punk said in Houston, all of those people could attend.
Could go, the families. Could attend. Yes.
And now if they lower ticket prices, the heat's no longer on. Like WWE and TKO cannot come out now and say, hey, we're lowering ticket prices because we're not selling tickets. We need to sell more tickets. So here we're going to lower them. Right. Which brings up two things. It makes you say, okay, we made a mistake. But the other side of it is, what happens to all those people?
That's already paid. Top dollar.
There's a guy, I heard this the other day, I was listening to Busted Open with Dave and Bully. And there's a guy that Dave ran into who bought two tickets for him and his son, both days, Saturday and Sunday.
Ooh, you're talking money.
Front row.
No.
So if they lower tickets, what happens to this guy? Like the people that already bought tickets. I mean, I know if I bought a ticket and all of a sudden now they're cutting them in half, I'd be like, what the fuck?
Where's my half
back? Yeah, I want my half back.
Yeah.
But anyway, I digress and go off on a tangent with it. But literally, that makes CM Punk a hero. It takes the heat off WWE, takes the heat off TKO, and it makes Punk look like a hero by saying, hey, ticket prices. So speaking of tickets, I looked this up. Same time last year, however many days we're out, 10 days, 8 days a week, for WrestleMania 41, there was 58,000 sold for Saturday.
Okay.
And there was 51,000 sold for Sunday's show.
Okay.
This year for WrestleMania 42, they're at 39,000 for Saturday and 41,000 for Sunday. So it's a 19,000 difference.
That's crazy. I didn't know it was that bad.
It's nine. Well, I don't know. Well, hold on.
We say bad.
I don't. I'm looking at it where it's 20,000 tickets. To me, between both days, I don't know. To me, it doesn't sound that much.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know why. It doesn't sound like that much to me. It's a difference of 19,000 with a week left. Because you know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. Like the I'm going to call them scalpers anymore. The third party
ticket agents.
Ticket people.
Yeah.
You know, I know when I go to a Phillies game, I wait till the last second to buy the ticket because whatever tickets are the tickets that are left. You get ticket dirt sales cheap. Are going to drop.
Yeah.
The negative with that is that's got to be local people or people who are just going there because no one from the East Coast is going to be able to wait till the last minute to buy a ticket and then book a flight to Vegas to go.
Right.
So you're kind of limiting yourself to
people that are going for the experience and then, hey, tickets pop open, like you said.
Right. They're
now,
already there.
Now we can afford it.
Yeah. So can they make up that 19,000?
Was it hold 75?
Yeah. But again, I think last year total between both nights, I think it was like 160,000 or something. So, but it was off. It was like more people on Sunday than Saturday.
Okay.
So can that be made up?
That's a big, I think it's a big number. Shockingly though, I think it's a big number. Now, do you think that this is the WrestleMania today is overblown than the WrestleMania back in our time?
What do you mean?
With it being 2 days and a week long and, you know, everything leading up to it. I mean, we did different things. Like we did they had the Slammies, they had the fashion shows, they had interactions with fans,
right. But
not to the extent that they have now. Do you think it's too watered down now and it takes some of the luster away from it?
No, I say no because people want the experience. They want to be able to go to WWE World. They want to do that thing where you're hitting a dummy with a chair and the dummy's Logan Paul.
Yeah.
you know, I think people want to do all of that because then you get the meet and greets. Even though you get, even though, and I don't know if you have to pay to get in WWE World, but I know if you're getting picture opportunities with people you got to pay for.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
And it's like, and those tickets to me aren't that, I mean, depending on who it is. I know, well, like,
you heard about the Cody Rhodes bus?
Yeah, that was like $9,000 or something.
Insane.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even Cody came out and said that.
It is. But you know what? If people pay it,
then it's not so insane.
It's not insane. Right. It's like a piece of artwork. Yes. Like, I got this painting right here on the wall of a castle that's above thing with a rhino underneath the water. I mean, I'd probably pay $10 for that. But I'm just saying, like, a piece of art is worth whatever it is in the value to the eyes of
the beholder.
Right.
Yes.
So if that, if someone, if some like parents got a kid. Yes, exactly. So if a parent's got that kid that loves Cody and wants to ride the bus with him and he's got money.
Yep.
Then, yeah, then fine. But I mean, I wouldn't pay it. But here's my question to you. With all of that, take the Pat McAfee stuff.
Yeah.
And now it's like, okay, that's interesting. Does that make you, because I know you, and we had this discussion before, you're not paying for it. Would you now buy a ticket?
No.
That's the biggest thing.
No, I still wouldn't buy a ticket.
That's the biggest thing. Getting people that wouldn't buy a ticket to buy a ticket.
I saw somewhere somebody had a graphic up of the stadium and the tickets that were still left. And I know the top part of the stadium, it was like $300.
Yeah.
So extremely, you know, not for a family of four to spend $1,200.
No, I'm not talking about a family. I'm talking about you individually. Would you buy a ticket at this point from what you've seen?
At three, no.
Take the
no, yes. Take all the money aspect out of it. No, I probably still would.
Okay.
And this is just me personally. I like watching, like, football. I don't like going to see live. Baseball, I don't like going to see live. I like watching it on TV because you get the replays, you get the commentary, you get all the inside stuff and things like that.
Right.
But and I understand why people go see it live because it's a different experience. But me personally, I like to hear, you know, all the chatter. Now, my grandfather, he used to hate Howard Cosell. Do you remember Howard Cosell?
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure everybody out there does not. And he used to watch Monday Night Football with the volume turned down. So, yeah, and back then they didn't have closed captions. So you were just.
I get it because there are times I will stream the Phillies game
right
over Sirius XM and listen to it with the volume down because I hate Ruben Amaro. I can't stand listening to Ruben Amaro.
What's weird is he's a Philly.
Yeah, doesn't mean he's a good commentator.
But does he talk shit about the Phillies?
He's not. I don't think he adds anything to the game.
Like,
I don't
think like Kruk.
Oh, Kruk's amazing.
He's
Kruk's
hilarious.
The greatest of all time.
Hilarious.
But no, Ruben Amaro, like, I was watching the game yesterday, and the Phillies right now, they suck. They haven't scored in 20 straight innings. They got shut out twice in a row by the Giants. This guy for the Giants pitching yesterday had like a 7.2 ERA. You don't even know what that is.
Which earned runs.
It's an earned run average, which is really high.
Yeah.
A 7. But he ended it. He pitched yesterday. By the time it dropped to a 4 because he gave up no run. The Phillies just can't hit right now. But Ruben Amaro is going, oh, like they were questioning to have, now they have ABS, which is a system. You know how you watch baseball at the little square?
Yeah.
Well, now you can challenge balls and strikes.
Really?
But you only get like 2 challenges. So the other day, and I was watching the game, Phillies pitcher throws a ball. It was a ball, but the umpire called it a strike. Strike 3. He's out. Ruben Amaro's like, I don't know why he wouldn't challenge that. Like, if he challenged that, he'd still be back. Like, motherfucker, he's on the other team.
Yes.
That's why you don't want him to challenge it. Like, I don't. It's just Ruben Amaro I don't like him. So, yeah. So I turn the volume down, and then I listen to the radio instead.
See,
so
I get like that. I like the replays, you know, because sometimes you'll miss something or you know, if you're at the stadium or if you're at WrestleMania and you're watching it and you say to that guy, hey man, did you see that? He's like, yeah, but you just missed that.
Right.
It's like, shit. So I like, you know, sitting at home with my, you know,
on your recliner.
Sure.
Yeah.
you know, in my briefs, just watching it. You do that out in public, you're gonna get arrested.
Right.
Ow, stop. What are you doing?
She's nudging me. All right, so you wouldn't buy a ticket?
No, I still wouldn't.
All right.
I think that you know, both days have some matches that I can't wait to see, but then there's some matches I'm a little worried about.
So I'm so glad. You're segueing the shit out of me today.
You didn't even see how we do that? Tag.
So WrestleMania card.
Yes.
I'm going to do the rundown.
Okay.
And I'm doing a rundown from – So, you know, on ESPN, I think it's ESPN 2
okay.
on Saturday, they're showing two matches, almost kind of like if you think back to our day.
Yeah.
We did Sunday Night Heat, and Sunday Night Heat led into the pay-per-view.
Right.
We were the Sunday Night Heat Kings, so we were always on the pay-per-view. Not always on the pay-per-view, but it segued in. Yeah. So I think that's what we're doing with these. But
okay.
And I think a couple of these matches, if you're watching it, could make people sitting at home go, maybe I now need to buy it.
Really?
Yeah. So here's the run. I don't know if you've seen the rundown.
I have not.
Good.
So this is good.
So Saturday, two matches featured in the first hour on ESPN 2.
Okay.
So Saturday's ESPN 2. Six-man tag match. Logan Paul, Austin Theory, and IShowSpeed.
They just announced that Monday.
Yeah. Versus the Usos and LA Knight. That's the first match.
Yeah.
No opinion on that?
Nope.
Okay.
They just announced that
Monday.
And I know Speed's been training. So, and my interest is to see what he can do and what he does do. You know, hopefully he gets over like Bad Bunny did, because Bad Bunny was amazing in the ring.
Oh, he did great. Yeah.
He was extremely athletic. Now, I'm a huge fan of Logan Paul and Austin Theory. I love the stuff that they're doing right now. Them being tag team champs is great.
The division needed belts.
I love it.
We've had this conversation before. The belts make people and people make the belts.
Yeah.
The belts are not going to help make them.
100%.
Yes.
You know, I like, you know, even Logan Paul's, his interviews and stuff like that, or his promos are so much better, because you can see that, you know, he's more confident in what he's saying and doing and stuff like that. I love that. I don't think that match would draw me into buying it, though.
No, me either.
It would intrigue me, but not
to buy it. I honestly, and I hate even saying this, I really have no interest in that match at all.
Okay.
None. Unsanctioned match.
Ooh.
Jacob Fatu versus Drew McIntyre. Unsanctioned. Ooh. That's basically...
anything goes.
Yeah.
That could be brutal.
Between the two of them? Hell yeah. That I want to see.
Now, meaning that it's unsanctioned, they can go anywhere, use any
there's no rules, because WWE is saying, we have nothing to do with this match.
We're going
to
give you a ref.
Whatever. the ref thing's a totally different conversation, because I thought that the other day. There was a triple threat match where there's no rules in a triple threat match, and somebody grabbed the rope and the ref made him let go. And I was like,
there's no rules.
But anyway, I digress. Jacob and Drew will be the last match leading into the live portion.
Right.
That could be a match. You're sitting at home watching and going, shit, wow, I'm into this.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, it depends on how good the match is, depends on the finish, how it goes.
You know,
could that make you?
That could sway me more.
Wanting to buy the
paper. That could sway me more.
Sway you to pay $30 to ESPN.
Monthly.
I mean, you could always cancel it later.
Yeah.
Just saying that.
Yeah.
So there's that one. All right. Now we get into the actual PLE version, I guess. So you have the WWE Women's Tag Team Championship Fatal 4-Way match. Nia Jax and Lash Legend, who are the champions, versus Charlotte and Alexa, versus Bayley and Lyra, and the Bella Twins.
Not interested.
Yeah.
Not that I'm not interested. I think all those women that are in it are phenomenal. I just don't know if the hype is there for it. I know they did some stuff this past Monday.
They've been building this one for a month.
Yeah.
They've been building to this for
a month. But I mean, you know, I'm excited to see Alexa back in the ring and stuff like that, because
she's been back in the ring.
I know, but I haven't seen it.
Oh.
Cause, what is she on, SmackDown?
She's been all over because of this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't seen her on Raw.
That's the difference between the women's champions and the men's champions. The men's have two. Over. The women's tag champs go all over.
Got it.
They go both ways. Awkward silence. all right, so yeah, not much interest there. Okay, fair enough. This one I'm kind of torn with. Women's Intercontinental Championship match. AJ Lee champion versus Becky Lynch.
I'm more interested now after seeing what they did Monday with the, she was doing an interview with Michael Cole, and then Becky came in and interrupted. Michael left, and Becky cracks me up though, dude. When she,
I love Becky.
She starts Becky's showing great. Her promos. She's like, Michael Cole, you've been to shits for 29 years. Get out of here.
Yeah, I love Becky.
It just made me laugh. It drew me in to see what she was going to say next.
So
I liked.
I'm excited to see Becky. I don't know. AJ Lee doesn't do much for me.
Did you watch what I'm talking about?
I think I missed it.
So AJ goes, Becky, you know, I'm proud of you. Like, she flipped script and everything else. She goes, but you know one thing? I'm the one that built the walls that got broken down. I'm the person that gave you the stage to do what you do. You know, when you go home and you say to your daughter at night, who's your favorite wrestler? She's not going to look at you and go, Mommy, you are Becky Lynch. She's going to say AJ Lee. She goes, and you're going to have to live with that. She gets up, walks away, grabs the belt, and leaves. I was like, wow.
Yeah, that's a mic dropper.
It was so good.
And here's the other part of that. That's kind of true.
Yes.
It's very true, because if you think about it, go back to the Bret Hart documentary,
yes,
where Bret tells his kids to go find a headbangers and play.
Yes.
We
have people that still tell us about that.
Yeah. Today. So that's my point. Like, your kids are not, and your kids are, you're not your kid's favorite wrestler,
and because
you're
just so funny,
mom or dad.
Because AJ even goes, your favorite wrestler is me. And just thinking of the I can't figure the word to say, just to think of that,
the context of it,
how it elevates, you know, Becky Lynch's favorite wrestler is who? Let's just say it's Charlotte Flair. Charlotte Flair's favorite wrestler would be AJ Lee. That's what AJ was saying. That is so powerful. It drew me in. So I'm very interested to see how that match turns out. I do think AJ's going to drop the belt and Becky's going to win.
Okay. Well, I think AJ's got like that, more of that part-time contract also. I don't think she's like there every week.
Oh, really?
I don't know. I'm speculating. I have no idea. Then it comes up with a new one that just got thrown in. Seth Rollins versus Gunther.
Confused about that, but very excited for it.
I think it'll be a good, solid match.
Me too. I do too. But
why are you confused?
How does that end?
What do you mean?
If Seth goes over, Gunther's legend killer, you know, retirement thing and everything else goes where?
I think you're looking at it the wrong way. I mean, Gunther can't have every angle and every storyline being about making someone retire, because there'd be no one for him to work.
Right.
I mean, you know, Randy Orton for a while was the legend killer. Yeah. So, I mean, it's totally different.
But at the same time, after
at the end of Raw the other night, if you saw when he came in the back, he had that conversation with Paul Heyman.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it could lead into something there.
And
aligning with Paul and the Vision.
I just don't know, because isn't this
his
first thing back after John or after AJ?
AJ, Gunther's? And then he did, who was AJ's partner? The guy with the mask.
Oh, yeah.
He did the thing with him.
But he didn't retire.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So the thing with Seth could be leading into the storyline of
trying to sleep.
This whole thing with Seth could lead back into the storyline of Seth. And because, you know, Seth's whole thing is, I want Paul. I want to kill Heyman. I want to kill the Vision. Yeah. So it could be Gunther and Heyman teaming up.
Yep.
Or at least a relationship that goes against Seth. So it could just be this match.
Would be good.
This match literally could just be the beginning of a storyline that runs to like SummerSlam or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And I'm very interested. I think Gunther and Paul Heyman together would be phenomenal.
Oh, yeah. I think it would be more of I don't see Gunther needing
a mouthpiece.
Gunther, he doesn't need a mouthpiece. He doesn't need Paul Heyman. But now Paul owes him. So when is he going to use it?
Right.
And it could be the beginning of a storyline.
It's very
with Gunther and Seth and Paul leading all the way up
very interesting
to SummerSlam.
Yeah.
All right. Next one is a big one, because it literally left knots on heads the other night.
Ooh.
Stephanie versus Liv.
Ooh.
Poor Liv and Roxanne's foreheads.
Holy cow. So I watched, when I watched Raw back again and stuff like that, and I really like listened intently, you could hear.
Oh yeah,
their skulls hitting.
Oh, you could hear it, and then you can see the aftermath.
And, oh my god! And the photos were just
that's what I'm saying. Insane. The aftermath, yeah.
And you could tell something was wrong because Liv had her hand up over like this. But I'll tell you what, she didn't break or nothing. Hats off to her. She rolled with the lump and just kept going. I mean, it makes for great TV. Yeah, well, I'll tell you.
Yeah, it does.
Oh yeah, excited for that match.
Yeah, so, no, I think it's going to be
really good.
And then they jump right into it with Cody and Randy as the main event on Saturday night. With, and it says right here, Cody Rhodes champion versus Randy Orton with Pat McAfee. So, I don't know what Pat brings
to the table.
Yeah, to the table either. In this. I don't think Pat was needed. I think, again, if it was someone else, maybe, but I don't think a third person was needed in this storyline at all.
Yeah, I don't think so
either. At all.
I don't think so either.
No.
That's why I think if the phone calls would have been Vince or somebody like that, Shane, I never even thought of Shane. It's more legendary. It's more, you know, Pat, he's a great announcer. He was great with Michael Cole.
Listen, it's nothing against Pat. It's the and you throw anyone in there.
Yeah,
is it a third person? In my opinion, in my mind, is just not needed. So unless the whole purpose of you doing that was for CM Punk to go out and dog him and TKO about ticket prices to give a reason to drive to bring prices down. So,
do you really think if it was Vince or Shane, you'd still feel the same way?
I think so.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think a third. I think their storyline, their history has enough.
So,
and the way they were beating the shit out of each other the last couple of weeks,
yeah.
I think that's enough.
The poor table.
Yeah, the poor announce table. And now it gets built back in 10 seconds.
It's amazing. It's crazy. It's like a Lego.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I think it's a solid. The matches are solid. Yeah,
yeah.
It's a solid day one.
Yeah.
The biggest thing to me is, it's a wait and see what happens with Pat. And again, there's two more SmackDowns left before. So things are still subject to change.
Something could happen.
Yeah, something could happen.
Is it a smoke screen?
That's what I'm saying. Who knows?
Hmm.
Things that make you go, All right. So now we go to night two. We go to Sunday. And this is actually interesting also. So the opening match is the Intercontinental Championship ladder match. So you have Penta.
Who's been in one ladder match in his whole career, by the way.
Okay. Well, I don't know what that matters.
I found that out.
Okay. Versus Javon Evans.
Never been in a ladder match.
Dragon Lee. Yeah, but Javon can do some crazy shit off that ladder.
It's going to be insane.
JD McDonahue.
Uh-huh.
Versus Rusev. Rusev is the odd one out in that whole group. And now, Rey Mysterio.
Yeah.
So I saw this thing the other day that supposedly a while back, because Rey's retiring from in-ring action also. So supposedly the storyline was supposed to be Rey versus Gunther, and then Gunther retires him.
Really?
Yeah. But, and I think this is really cool. I actually saw this and I love this idea. Rey said no, he didn't want to do that. What Rey wants to do is have Dom retire him in Mexico.
Wow. That's heavy.
How awesome is that?
That's that gave me a goosebump.
How awesome is that? That I'd buy a ticket for.
Yeah, that's heavy.
That I would want to see.
Because that's going to be,
especially now with the thing with AAA and WWE.
Yeah,
but does it happen under AAA or WWE? But either way, how great was that going to be?
That would be cool.
Yeah.
That would be
all right. So that's the opening match.
That's an awesome father-son moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, especially the history they
have. I have any sons.
Especially with the history they have all the years.
Yeah.
All right. So now this next one.
I like that one.
Is going to be on, again, these two matches are going to be on ESPN the first hour.
The ladder matches?
Yeah. Really? That's the first one.
See, now that might, that ladder match might persuade me to buy night two.
Now this next one is, I think, maybe one of the most matches I'm excited to see. Oba versus Brock.
I'm scared of this match.
Why?
It's Oba's first WrestleMania. We know how we felt. He's going to be in twice in front of twice as many people in that stadium than what we were.
Go ahead.
And I just have a feeling that if something goes wrong, Brock's going to let him know. Because that's Brock. I mean, that's how he is. I mean, I don't fault him for it or anything else. I don't know.
Brock.
That's why I'm scared of it.
Brock is a professional.
Yes, 100%.
I think Brock will carry him the way he needs to be carried, when he needs to be carried.
Hoping so.
I think with Paul Heyman at ringside.
Yes, I forgot about Paul.
And what you don't know about Oba is Oba's been in front of big crowds with NXT.
Okay.
Oba was in the Royal Rumble.
That's right.
So he's been in front of the big houses.
Yeah.
Oba is...
And that's going to be free?
That's on ESPN.
Wow.
But let me say, so Oba's been in front of the big crowds.
Yeah.
He's been there. Oba's got it. That it factor.
I love his walk.
He's got all of it. He's got...
I can't even do it.
The it factor. He's going to make a lot of money.
Yeah.
Which is why Brock is going to do this...
Business.
For him. Do business.
Yeah.
You know, they're... I saw a thing the other day with their contract signing. It said, oh, both men got in a ring and went right at it. I'm like, Oba never got in a ring. But fucking as soon as he stepped through, Brock jumped. Brock wouldn't even let him in the ring.
Yeah, yep.
And then I love how they both went through the table together. Like, I love that whole setup. Like, we're just going to fight. This is going to be a brawl. But that's the match that now leads into, so you got your ladder match. Then you have the Oba-Brock
brawl. I'm buying
brawl.
It. Right there, I'm buying it.
That's going to make you buy it to go in. Yeah,
100%.
Yeah. I agree.
Way more than night one.
Yeah. Yeah.
100%. Just the ladder match alone with the people that are in it and the crazy things. We thought Jeff Hardy was insane and crazy off of ladders. I think this is going to go to another level.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. So you go from that, Oba and Brock, and then you go into, now we're in the PLE, United States Championship, Sami Zayn versus Trick Williams. My big hope here is because Trick's awesome, and Trick was actually getting cheered. I realized bringing outside, like he had little Yachty, I guess that guy's a rapper, him out on SmackDown or something last week. And Sammy was kind of getting booed. So, but my thing with this is I hope this is kind of propelling Trick. Trick gets the belt and then kind of like lets him like take off. Because he's another one who's going to be
I like amazing. His persona. Like with the coats and stuff. I like that because it's so over the top.
Yeah.
You know, I like, you know, because we're old school. So we like stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So we got that. And then we got this one's going to be really good too. Dominic Mysterio versus the Demon, Finn Balor. Not Finn Balor. The Demon's back.
Yeah.
Dominic has brought the Demon back.
I love the Demon.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. Because Monday, Finn had a match with the other guy from
JD.
JD, yeah. And Dominic was having nothing to it. He went in there, interfered. It was fucking heavy. It was good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm excited to see that one, too, especially with the Demon.
And then this one here, yeah. I don't even want to say this out loud, but this is kind of how I feel about it. It's the WWE Women's Championship match with Jade Cargill versus Rhea Ripley. I think this is the match. And it's semi main event. And then the Saturday card had the Stephanie and Liv as a semi main event. But I didn't look at their match the same way. This match here, remember we used to joke around. We're like, oh, we'd be semi main event. And we're like, oh, we're supposed to be the match that brings the crowd back down so that the main event gets a bigger pop. I just hope this match doesn't go long because I don't think Jade can go long. And I think it's going to be a lot on Rhea to carry this.
It's another match that I'm worried about because of, you know, Rhea is so seasoned and so good. I mean, so good. She'll be able to carry the match, but I'm just always worried about, you know, the slip ups. And stuff like that, and recovering from them, and things like that.
Those are going to happen.
Yeah, but you always, you know.
I don't worry about the mistakes, slips, things happen. What I get worried about is the quality. I want the quality of the match to be solid.
Right.
I don't think Jade is ready to keep up with Rhea yet when it comes to that.
I agree.
When it comes to that. Yeah. Like, Stephanie and Liv is going to be a solid match.
Oh, it's going to be phenomenal.
You know what I mean? It's going to be a solid match.
Yes.
But Jade and Rhea, I go, which could be why now they have Jade surrounded by people.
Yeah.
Jade now has Minchin and I don't know where the girl's name. Yeah. All right. So now we go main event, Punk versus Roman. That's the main event of all main events. CM Punk's finally got his main event of all main events.
Yes. Day two main event. Because wasn't last year he was day one main event.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm really excited to see this one because this one has gotten it's cut deep. It's gotten personal.
It's personal.
It's gotten very there's nobody else involved. It's just Punk and Roman.
Unless somehow the bloodline comes in.
Unless, yes. But I think after watching CM Punk's promo Monday night, I don't think that's going to happen. He was just some of those things that he was saying, I was laughing. He was like, you're plastic. You're this. You're not even a Hollywood superstar. you're manufactured. It was so good. And it was getting such a reaction because Punk has a way of saying something, letting it marinate, getting that reaction, and then still moving forward,
yeah.
Which is, you know.
He's brilliant on a microphone.
Amazing.
Brilliant.
He's got to be top two.
Definitely top five, 100%. Yeah.
In history. I'm going to put him, you know, if it's not Flair as one, it's Punk as one. If it's Punk not at, you know, one, they're irreversible. And then I go like Rock and Steve and stuff like that. But I think his promos are they cut
right.
They're very,
I get it.
They're very
they're real. Error. Well, they're more real. His promos are more real.
Yeah,
that you feel. 100%. Well, here's what it is. It's one word, emotion.
100%.
He pulls emotion out of the crowd. He pulls emotion out of. You can cut a great promo, but if you're not pulling emotion out of people, it doesn't mean anything.
No,
he pulls the emotion out of not just his opponent, but he pulls it out of the crowd. He pulls it out of the people. He gets you invested in wanting to see, okay, can you follow up?
Follow that up now. Yep.
Let's see you follow it up. So that's it. So out of all of those, if you could only watch one of them,
Punk and Roman.
Which one would it be?
Punk and Roman.
Punk and Roman.
Yeah. I just think it's going to be, who would you say?
That Stephanie Liv match has me very, very interested.
That would be my second.
And I just think, I honestly think the Oba Brock match is going to be great. I really do.
Really?
Yeah, I really do. I'm invested in that. And part of it could be because I know Oba and I've worked with him at the PC. I don't know. It makes a difference. But there's a lot of people here. Like I worked with Trick and Javon also. Brock's presence is just something to me. Like he's got a presence about him.
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
So,
yeah, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be definitely cool. Card build up.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting. The next two, two SmackDowns left, one Raw left. And then we got WrestleMania. And we got to wait and see what happens.
It's coming.
It's coming. It's that time of year.
Yeah.
All right. Awesome. Got anything else?
No.
All right. Go do whatever makes your heart happy.
Just don't suck at it.
Peace out.